Good morning. 00 hours. Cloudy. 57 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Cloudy. 57 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. 56 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Cloudy. 56 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. 57 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. 57 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. 56 degrees.
Morning. At 8, this is ZKF, local, listening.
Good morning. 07 hundred hours. Rain. 56 degrees.
Sorry, was that you,
Dan? Hey, good morning, Phil. ABAPR, WTPT Mobile. Yep, that was me. Heading towards the fest. A little south of Dundee on US 23.
Okay, I'm on my DD switch right now. I can hear the repeater. I can I'm at 275 right now.
Oh, okay. Hey, what a coincidence. I can hear my repeater, too. It's right along in the back of the Jeep, but I can hear it. the maps of Google tell me I should be there about 20 after 8. I've got that attenuator in my pocket.
Yeah, may not need it. For some reason, my exciter coming out of the repeater is only putting out 7 milliwatts. I thought it was putting out about 800, but it's only putting out about 7 milliwatts right now. And I don't know why, but which may not even be enough to drive that in. I don't know. That's why I think it needs 10.
Seven's a little low. Especially if it's supposed to put out 800. That sounds like the last stage is probably pops or maybe a one before that, but weekend. That could be a problem.
Well, worst case scenario, I can get I can use the amp and get it down to as low as 10 milliwatt if I need to, or less. I mean, down to 10 milliwatts. So it's got a lot of range in that.
Okay, well, at any rate, I do have the have it with me if you want it. It's starting to rain a little more here. Well, yesterday was kind of a windy day. I don't think it delivered quite what they were saying was going to for the wild weather, which is okay. Took some time and messed around with my GMRS repeater yesterday. I've got battery backup hooked up on that now. I have most of my repeater stuff backed up now. Not all of it. The DMR still isn't backed up, and the snap meter isn't backed up either. But I think the only thing I'm not going to bother with battery backup on is the snapper repeater, because it's a Quantar. I need 24 volts to back that up. Not quite as easy as what I've going on with the other stuff. Just got to get the right connector for the DMR. So you've been playing with amps. I was playing with power. 88PR WCPT.
You got a Quantar as a snapper?
Okay. So yeah, it's raining where you are. That's you're west of me, so that means I'm gonna get it. Here, but it's dry here, actually, right now. But I do see to the west those clouds. So, yeah, I'm supposed to, my rivals is 823.
Yeah, there's lots of little pockets of rain. And yes, Sean, I'm running a Quantar on the snapper repeater. I got the Quantar in trade for services rendered. So... So that's what I'm running on the snapper pair.
Well, good morning. Yeah, I reserve those usually for P25 things, although I got one running on GMRS, so I should talk. But as soon as I get a pair, I'm going to pull the Quantar off GMRS. And then I'll stick an XPR up there or something. I don't know. Or maybe I'll find a couple of mobile radios. I don't know. Whatever garbage I can find to keep the GPS or the GMRS machine running. Good morning, Phil. Good morning, Dan. I am, my ETA where I'm going is 10 a.m. Go ahead, Phil.
Okay. I can't believe I can still hear my repeater down here, but I said 30. That's only 35 watts, or less than 35 watts. That's 100 millis. So, by the way, after I swapped out that filter stage on that amp also, I've got a little over 80 watts, but then I discovered my sire's not putting out what it should. So that's probably why I keep putting it all the way to 100.
Hold on a sec. Are you saying that you ended up getting that amp working after I talked to you?
Yeah, if you remember, I was going to swap out that final, swapped out the mid-stream boards, but not the filter at the after the last stage. And I swapped that one out, and I got 20 watts out of it.
All right, very cool. Well, that's good to hear. Dan, I had an old TPL amp laying around. I forgot about it until Phil told me that the amp in that Kenwood of his was a TPL. I said, wait a minute, I got an old 100-watt TPL UHF amp. It marked on it, the frequency it was on was 417.
That came out of the Federale service. Yeah, most of that stuff moves up to the ham band. I know the TPLs have tuning adjustments in them. I used to have a nice TPL amp. It was kind of transportable, well, with a dolly. It was in the short Master 2 cabinet. The TPL amp, a pair of GE Monogram Mobiles, which the monograms were the were actually Maxons in disguise. A basic controller on it, set of TXRX cans. I loaned that to somebody, and then it got stolen out of the location at Camp Dearborn years back. Wasn't real pleased about that, but what are you going to do about it? Ain't anything you can.
All right, I just got my node cooking. My ear.
Yep.
Yeah, you're here.
All righty. I mean, I'll be fine for a little while, but I figure I might as well just get the node kicked in now. What are you on, Phil? Are you on the so that you might be on the phone.
0800 hours.
Is there an option in there to toggle the push tuck on and off, or that maybe the push and hold it? I can't remember if there's a push to engage, push to disengage.
Yeah, there's an option to, you know, whether you want to hold it or whether you want to just click it on, click it off. It's in the, you might have to disconnect and then go to settings. I would also recommend while you're in there taking your transmit audio down about half of what you get now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm using the car's Bluetooth stuff, so yeah, it might be hot.
Roger. So, Dan, are you looking for something, or are you just going for the hot dogs and the camaraderie?
I'm going more for the social aspect. Camaraderie. See if there's any bargoons that I cannot live without. Last year, I came home with a... the radio wasn't there, but the head in the cable was GE, not Prog line, but a pre-Prog control head. I got that for just for the antique collection. It's like, man, oh man, long ago, galaxy far, far away, two babies. They were the newer tube ones because they had a transistor supply. We had a bunch of those at the lumberyard, my family's business, that they used to have on 3592. We spent a lot of time installing, removing, moving stuff around, and playing around with those. So there was that kind of nostalgia with it. I bought that and the ticket in last year, so we'll see. All right, go ahead, Phil. WTP, UT Mobile.
Okay, so I found the toggle mode. Okay, got that working. See, the audio settings, I think, are in the individual count configuration. I don't think they're in the general settings. I didn't see that. I'll have to check that. Yeah, You know, so finding out what I did about the exciter, I'm just wondering if I could just find another little amp that could take, that could bump up, a low-level amp. I don't know. I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet. So I may still get this bigger amp and drive it with the other amp, just keep it, the output really low on that, just so I get the full power. Or I could just leave the other one running at 80 watts, just leave it at that. So these are options I have to make decisions on in the next couple hours. Go ahead, Sean.
Phil, I'm sorry if that was directed at me. I got distracted by my phone. The guy I'm meeting up with, got to take his call.
Yeah, I was just saying, I could just run that amp at 80 watts if I'd be happy with it, or I could just turn it way down and feed this other amp I'm looking at. So I'm just saying I've got to make some decisions in the next couple of hours, depending on what I see.
Well, I don't know what the price is, but having a spare is not bad if the price is right. But, I would much rather just run the native one. It's a full output. I just shudder when I see these cascading amps. I did when you were doing it with the MSF, and now you're proposing it now. I don't like that. But, I know it's not a big deal, but those things like to run at or near their nominal. Well, maybe not. I don't know. Hey, it's probably no big deal. It's not like a tube amp where you got to kind of run it at its optimum or should. So, and having a spare is not a big deal. I don't know. It's up to you, man. I like the idea of the integrated one. That'll give you time to find another one or fix the other one or whatever, I don't know.
Well, what he told me on the phone, he's offering me the one. He's got two of them, two with 28 volt power supplies. He's offering me one for $200. And if I want both of them, I think he said $375. So, I don't know, it's kind of hard to
turn
head down, like you said, even to have a spare.
Parts is parts, right, Dan?
Yep, honestly, I'd probably also keep your eyes out for a PA. Those run on 12 volts. The only thing you have to add is a power control, which is easy as heck. Stick 12 volts in one of those buck converter adjustables. That actually supplies the power to the driver stage. They drive with a watt or less. Also a good option. But the difference from 80 to 100 watts, I would not even consider cascading amps for the little bit extra. I know from a watt scale it's like a lot, but when you put it in the perspective of dB, you're talking about what 1 dB. And on a receiver end, on a noisy signal, you have to go, oh, I heard a quieting difference. You got to go 3 dB for perceptible quieting difference. So, the users on the end are not going to notice the difference between 80 and 100. A lot of extra work for, something that's measurable but not perceptible.
Okay, I think I just said everything. I'm going to switch back to the map so I don't know where I'm going right now. So I'll see you there, Dan. I got your frequency, so we'll be listening there. 88 here.
All right, Phil, see you there. Go ahead, John.
All right, you guys have fun. Yeah, you're absolutely right about a Micor PA, and those should be a dime a dozen. Speaking of Micors, I got a boatload of them. well, I got four or five, and I've GMRS repeaters that are, I got one I need to get some hardware for, and I've got one that's sucking up one of my Quantars, and I want it back because I'm going to be putting it up P25, but I could take two of my Micors, and I could use those on GMRS. They'd be perfect. In fact, they were old Medcom bases, so they're already 462, you know, like 9, 462.7, so they're like right there. The thing is you can't use a, because of the way they did the offset, you couldn't really use one of those little outboard, you know, generators very easily. Can you still get elements reworked elements or something like that? Is a Micor, can you put a Micor on the air, I guess is my question.
Well, the answer to your question is no and yes. No, you cannot get reworked elements. But yes, you can get crystals. I think they're out of the UK or somewhere in the EU. You can get Bomar. Friends don't let friends buy Bomar crystals, though, you know. We used to call them Blomar Driftles when I worked in the shop. That being said, I have the U of M 10-meter repeater. QRP Labs, the Prog Rock 2. A little bit of work. It's actually fairly easy to do, though. You can program it for whatever frequency you want. And they're cheap. They're basically like $20 a piece. Very easy to program. Terminal emulator on USB. You plug it into a micro USB connector and it creates its own virtual port. Dude, it is super easy. Just put the frequency in and it hurts. Takes a little bit of fabricating, but like I said, I did that with the U of M 10-meter repeater. Works. Works great. The one time I bought two of them, shipping was as much as the two combined, so this time I bought four. So it was $100 to get four of them shipped. Totally worth it.
Okay, so hold on. What? You're still using the channel element? You're just buying these and using those as the oscillator for those elements? Is that what I'm hearing, or are you replacing the element altogether and using these, injecting these? Because I think the element, you can't do that, because the element, you know, they generate the transmit off that element, and so you'd have to build up that circuitry. I must have missed it. Are you just using those to replace the crystal and the TCXO and leaving the TCXO?
Well, I used the connector and the housing from the channel element, and just replaced the guts with that because the Micor that'll work for because the modulation is beyond that. It just puts out the reference frequency. Now, like if you were to do a Mitrek or an MSR, the modulator's built into the element, I'm not sure you could make that work. But the Micor, you can. I will say I had a challenge with the Micor because the crystal frequency on the low band is not the frequency you program it for. It took some reading of the theory of operation. For the low band, it actually uses the second harmonic of the fundamental oscillator frequency. So I spent many hours screwing around trying to get, it's like, why will this not work? I had an original channel element. It's like, it works with this one, but why won't it work here? And then when I figured out that you have to program it for that second harmonic, it worked fine.
Good morning. morning, Steve. All right, well, I'll tell you what then. I'm gonna get with you on that. Send me information, because I got a couple of mic horrors I'm gonna get going for the GMRS stuff, and then that way I can get my good equipment out of that service. And yeah, that'll work. That'll be great. Because my cars are battleships. I mean, my God, they just take a licking and keep on ticking. All right. Good morning, Steve. What's going on down there? You sound groggy down there in Florida.
It's early. Yeah, I just had a big old swig of coffee right before I chimed in, and I was a little froggy. Yeah, you can do that with MyCord phase modulated. So, yeah, Bob's your uncle. I did a similar thing just as kind of a proof of concept with a MaxTrack. But, of course, that's a lot different beast.
With a MaxTrack. Well, that's interesting. I would have never thought to try it with something like that. Of course, I got everything to program the MaxTracks. But I can see how that would work. That's an interesting idea. So Sean, I got it working in proof of concept. I haven't gone through and tuned everything yet, but with a 6-meter master 2. I only used one because it's got three outputs. If you want to use GPS sync or a reference to it, you got two outputs. And it's got eight banks of three. So, since the exciter is continually powered on the Master 2, I used that to the one switch power to hit the bit for frequency select, or, you know, bank select. So the receive is always on. In the first bank, there's no transmit reference program. Second bank, transmit reference is programmed. So, yeah, proof of concept of it functioning. Rolling through the roundabout here to get to the Hamfest WTQT.
What clock chip are you using, Dan?
Oh, one of them. It's the QRP Labs via the Prog Rock 2. So it's already built. Somebody has taken the effort to do all the engineering and the tough work. Mine was just to figure out how to implement the already built thing.
Okay, Roger. Yeah, I've used SI5351s for a lot of weird clocky stuff like that. And I'm trying to remember the MaxTrack thing I did 4 or 5 years ago, and I built it on the bench, and I had it. I had a two-channel MaxTrack that I started with, and I took that little LED piece out, cut it out, put an OLED board in, and then took the speaker out, and that's where I stuck the encoder. So I had frequency agility, and I could do that all from the front panel, set offsets and everything, but I could not. I had to use the RSS to program the PL. So I was kind of fixed to whatever PL I had in from the last time.
So cool idea, though. That is very cool. All right, well, I am parked in the lot here. Get off our hiney and go in it. Throw our ticket money at the nice people and I'll be listening on the radio here. Got the mobile mode going. W2PJ.
This is W8FU. Man, they pushed me off on the US M14 And now, and I haven't got a coffee, and I am out of my element. I don't see any Starbucks, well, Panera at this exit. Oh, am I going to have to wait till Ann Arbor to get myself a coffee?
Ooh, where are you off to?
Kazoo!
Kazoo! Oh, what's up there?
Some of that stuff we've been chatting about in the three-way chat.
Oh, the guy with the blue meth came through. Cool.
That's right, man. This stuff's the purest stuff.
Well, very good. You have to fill us in on the experience when you get back and you're able.
No, it's a turntable and a subwoofer, or two turntables and a microphone.
That'll work, too.
Yeah, the guy I went out to last weekend that I got the speakers from, he made me a deal I couldn't pass up. And I was going to go to the swap with the boys this morning, but this guy hit me up, made me a deal I couldn't refuse on a couple of really, really nice pieces. So off to Kalamazoo I go again. Did I not transmit?
Stay here for a little bit. I just started putzing around out here. I'm working on the controller for the flagpole again. It's been giving me grief on 80, and keep burning out relays, so I did the logical thing and I bought more relays, so there you go. Catch you later, N8NM.
Okie doke, yeah, I seem to be having some trouble with my node. I was talking there when you were talking, so my node I think is not working 100%. And anyhow, yeah, the guy out from last weekend called me up, made me a deal I couldn't refuse, so off to Kalamazoo I go again. All right, catch you later. Have fun. W8FU, westbound M14.
KS8BOT, wishing everyone a good morning. And I'll be monitoring.
Does that mean you don't want to talk?
I'm always up for talking.
I'm never sure when people announce they're monitoring, because, you know, I don't want to disturb you. Anyhow, good morning. Name here is Sean. Call familiar. We spoke before, I'll bet. And I'm just brain farting, right?
Yes, we have. This is Eric out of Holly. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, just on a little road venture here out to Kalamazoo. And, it's rainy. Visibility's eh. Roads are eh. And I need coffee, so that's my morning.
I literally just got my coffee brewed and I'm sitting here with a fresh cup and was scanning the HF bands and there's not much of anything except on 40 meters right now, and even that's pretty low, but yeah, I figured I'd give it a shot anyway and see if anybody was awake. I don't know what the temperature is. I haven't hit it outside, but definitely rainy but not windy and stormy like it was yesterday, though, so I'm kind of glad of that. I think last time we talked, you were headed out to Grand Rapids or Kalamazoo also.
Well, last Sunday, I was where I'm going today. Last Sunday, I was on my way out to Kalamazoo. I was out to Kalamazoo. And I'm visiting that person again today, this morning.
and probably the only two times I've been in Kalamazoo in a very, very long time. Could have been Grand Rapids, Muskegon. I was out there the week before on work, so who knows? I don't do a lot of traveling, but you've caught me twice traveling. But that's when I'm on the radio most. Please be... Yes! I see a Starbucks sign. I can get coffee. First sign I've seen of any kind. I would have taken anything. But, and there were some guys out here earlier all on their way down to the Tamara, the Toledo Amateur Radio Club. They're having their swap. Great swap. Very, very worth putting on your agenda if at all possible. I was going to go, but this deal here popped up yesterday, and it's like, nope, got to make the run to KZU. All right, I'm going to pay attention to which way I got to turn here at the light.
In 900 feet, turn left.
Yeah, okay,
use the
yep.
Two lanes to turn left on the
all right. I'm going to figure out where I'm going here, get my coffee, and I will be back in a few minutes. W8FP. Good copy. KF8BOG, I'll still be around.
Good morning, 0900 hours, cloudy.
W8FU, westbound.
To get your coffee.
I most certainly did. And the breakfast thing, I got a cappuccino, medium, with 5 shots in it.
Are you driving the car down the freeway or pushing it?
I got the Fred Flintstone mobile. So I got the necessary to power it. Anywho, where am I? I have no idea. This looks pretty rustic. Michigan Whitetail Hall of Fame Museum, this exit.
You see a sign that says Ted Nugent Crossing?
I think he's wangoing and tangoing.
Everybody needs a hobby. Pam and I are sitting outside right now. The weather that you guys are getting up there, we're about to get the bottom end of it down here, so we're enjoying a few minutes outside before the rain.
Yeah, I get up in the morning and generally ask the Google what the weather is, and it says, this morning it says, it's 56 degrees with a high expected of 57 and a low of 22. And I'm like, yeah. And rain. And I get outside and it's just been rain the whole time. It's just some parts have been a little more difficult visibility-wise. But right now it's pretty bright and it's down to just a very light mist. So it's not too terrible, but dreary, that's for sure.
Yeah, the dreary's been moving in slowly this morning. Weather said like 6 o'clock it's supposed to start raining tonight, but it's pretty overcast off to the west, so I think it's going to hit earlier than that. But what do I know? I'm not Chuck Gatica.
Well, I must be in Jackson. All of a sudden there's a lot of things at the exits, and it looks like there's a 94 business coming up, so. Must be in Jackson. Tipplin' ajar.
Pam and I have been talking about Jackson ever since the fire went out.
Ever since the what?
I was quoting Johnny Cash.
Oh, right. Yep. There's a lot of there's a lot of Jackson, so that's a lot of people get that. I know we often, when we were on our way to Texas, we'd stay in Jackson, Tennessee, which is right up the highway from Jackson, Mississippi, is it? What's the famous one down there?
I don't know. I just think the Jackson's Hole. Pam's been to Jackson's Hole, I think. Have you? Yeah, she says yeah.
I don't want nothing to do with Jackson's Hole.
Mrs. Jackson, and I understand that was a perpetual source of frustration.
There we go. I'm at 127 and 94, so yippee-skippee mid-state.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you're like in the center of it all.
Gun don't get no better than this.
I gotta think about a refill now. N8NM.
Roger. Check in on the phone and see if the guy I'm going to meet. He knows I'm coming, and he knows about what time, but I have not got a reply back from him. So let me go see if I've gotten any acknowledgments of my efforts. WNF.
Okie dokie. Yeah, I guess I'm going to have a refill. N8NM, I'll be back too, eventually, some point in my life, maybe.
Huh. It's clearing up. I see blue sky, I see sun, the road's dry.
Patton Flint, KGATFM.
Hello, Davian. What are you seeing in Flint?
It's just raining and cloudy. It's been that way since I left the cabin at Mayo. I didn't need to complain because I'm heading to Petersburg. The beautiful summer.
Morning, Fred. Yeah, I'm on 94 west of Jackson, and the sun is out, blue skies, poofy clouds, roads are drying up, so it's coming your way.
That's good. It'd be nice if it brightened up. Yeah, I'm at 475 and 75, and I'd say, well, let me take that back. It's still cloudy. The rain has settled down a little bit, though. Probably the last 20 minutes, I haven't had to have the wipers on high anymore, so I suppose it's getting better.
Fred, where do you say you gotta go? I think we doubled there. Fred, where did you say you had to go?
Oh, I'm headed to the plant in Petersburg. I finished last night with 84 hours for last week. So at midnight, the clock resets to zero, so now I'm starting a fresh new clock. So headed to the plant. And he said, what are you doing on the west side?
Same thing I was doing last Sunday. Same place and everything. If I would have known, could have not done it all last weekend. Oh, well. I like Kalamazoo so much, I have to return.
But she said she'd ride along with me this morning. So it shouldn't take me too long. I'm hoping 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Gotta get done. Maybe I'll find breakfast.
We'll say this, you're mostly in, but you got a lot of popcorn on you, so a little tough. Anyhow, Davian, how's the travel going?
So far, so good. Yeah, I've had hockey every weekend with my son here the last, well, since November. So we finally were able to sneak up to the cabin for the day. For his birthday in November, he got a BB gun, a nice one, 22 caliber BB gun. So we drove up for just today just to basically get that sighted in and check on the cabin, make sure everything was okay. Made it out, did a little bit of POTA, and then a lot of driving around through trails, just kind of looking around and scoping things out for turkey season. So it was a good day trip, though. It was nice to finally get up and get away a little bit. So it was much needed.
And I'm in the village, so I'm headed towards the repeater, so hopefully I'll get better. I'm going to go right back.
I was going to go to the swap this morning with Phil, with Dan and the boys, and Ron was going to be going, and then Ron, he couldn't go because he got puppy patrol, and I got detoured for this, so Phil soloed it down there. But Phil and Dan are meeting up, and a few of the other boys are all going. So, Toledo's a good swap. I'll tell you, Davey, do you do any swaps? There's a couple that are really worth going to. You know, of course, Dayton, right? And you may have even went to Dayton, if I'm not mistaken. But Toledo, Tamara, is a good swap. That one's a good one to go to. Monroe, great swap, good one to go to. Finley, great swap, good one to go to. There's a couple, two or three, you know, that aren't terribly far. They're really worth going to. I think the kids would like it.
You know, I'd like to go to the swaps, and when I hear about them, I have all intentions of going. And then with how busy schedules are for sports and that, I never seem to be able to go. I think the last one I went to was Dayton, and it was 5 years ago, probably. So, it's been a long time. I mean, I've been to, like, the Lance Cruz swap and stuff like that here and there, but, yeah, usually I find out about them, it just gets busy, and for one reason or another, can't make it. So, I mean, that's at least what usually happens. KE8, TFM.
Well, just to jump in on that real quick. So, you know, Finley and Monroe and, of course, Dayton, if the weather's decent, the kids, I think, could have some fun with that. If the weather sucks or then forget it, don't even bother. You know, you appreciate whatever, but the kids wouldn't. But Monroe is becoming one of my favorites, and it's not far. But I like that one up there in Port Huron. I forget what the name of that club is that runs that one, but it's tiny, and it's just right there along at the Maritime Museum on the river, and it's just a tiny little thing. You just one little strip of tables, but I always find something good there, something interesting. But the kids wouldn't enjoy that one, but it's close, so there you go. Anyhow, I digress. See how Fred's come along. See if that signal's getting any better.
Going by Warworth, I hope so.
Sounding good now.
Yeah, coming up another hill here. Probably there's water in my little, I only have a little 2-inch antenna. So, oh wait, hold on, I know why I'm doing this. My antenna's behind me.
There we go. Man, there's a lot of electric out here, solar. I see a lot of fields of solar panels.
We washed the truck yesterday, Michelle. We never put the antennas back on the roof, so the antenna sits on the back seat on the floor.
There you go. I'm going to say, you sounded kind of poopy there, Fred. What the hell?
Oh, no, it's still on the floor because we got to pull over and put it up. But it's storming rain right now. But, yeah, signal's going up my butt right now. It was going through my fat ass to get to the repeater.
I like the description of the RF path. I've done that a few times. Wash the truck at the car wash and then forget that the antenna's laying on the back seat. Yeah. That'll do it.
Well, I pretty much run, I run permanent mount NMO, and I put a quarter wave UHF up there, and I just run pretty much that UHF mobile. and I don't even bother taking it off anymore. It's a pain in the rump. Every once in a while, I gotta get up there and just straighten the little quarter wave whip because the big roller on top tends to push it towards the back. No big deal. I suppose a thousand times through the wash it could break it or something. I don't know, but it just bends it back a little bit. But quarter wave, top dead center, NMO mount. Don't worry about it. That's my motto. I keep a high gain antenna in the back of the car here for when I'm traveling. But you know what? When I'm traveling, I grab my node, and then I don't even bother. So, I don't know. You're more adventurous than I am. You guys both. You're both either contesters, poters, things like that. So, me, I just go with what I know, and I'm boring.
All right, crop from 75 here on Dixie, or transitioning from Dixie. So yeah, the trees are kind of in the way, but I should be able to see the repeater right there. And honestly, I haven't fired the HF up in a while. Like, we're talking probably a month or two maybe, it feels like. I haven't really done much anything on HF. God, it's really just taking it out of me.
Well, I can understand that with all the activities that have been going on with your work. You've been pretty sparse. So I don't imagine you had time for playing HF. And your antenna, your signal is a little bit more of it staying in your backside than it's getting out of the car on that last transmission. Davian?
Yeah, at least so far for me, HF is getting a lot of use, so I like doing the POTA activations. Like, combines all my hobbies. I like being outside, I like walking in the woods, hunting, fishing, so bringing an HF rig with everything else, not really a big deal. Yeah, yesterday POTA was pretty good. I went to the this park. It's pretty tough to get to, but the park's right behind Eric's cabin, basically, by like a half mile. So I drove through the ORV trails to get to it and set up over there. So it's kind of fun. I get to explore a lot of different areas. I found tons of places to go and, like, hunt near the house that I, you know, within an hour, I'd say, that I never even knew about. So yeah, the HF radio gets a lot of use. I know when I go up the mile, if I try to keep a VHF repeater there, the chances somebody comes back are slim and none. So if you want to use the radio, talk to people, HF's really the only way to do it on demand, I think. KEHFM.
All right. The Mayo VHF 700 is on our northern network. So, yeah. Sometimes we'll have it on downstairs, but... Yeah. Yesterday I had it all turned down while I was working. And when I get to the plant, we'll remember to put the antennas back on the roof. So, man, this rain is coming down. WFSO.
And an update from wherever I am. I gotta be, let's see here, 38 miles. So I'm probably about 30 miles. Big out of Kalamazoo, but it's overcast again, and there was some drizzle. It looks like it stopped again, so that little brief period of blue skies and sunlight is gone. So maybe it's not coming your way. Maybe I just found a little pocket. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm in, I don't know where am I at, Grand Blanc now, Dixie Highway in 75, and had to turn the wipers back up again, so, yeah, it's not showing any signs of letting up, that's for sure.
Yeah, I just got it coming up to Grange Hall now, and it's down for me, the wind wipers up on high, and it's blowing like no other across the road here, so, yeah.
I can say that, no wind on this trip. It's been pretty easy going. But I mean, nothing notable, I should say. And the rain never got heavy. So I haven't had that. I've had the windshield, you know, full on instead of intermittent for several times. But it's never really come down real hard. It's not been real windy on my southern, western trip. And I am coming up to Michigan's largest rock shop, Exit 85, Galesburg. Man, all the sights and sounds you can see going this way. The old bootleggers run.
Yeah, this weekend up north, we had all kinds of wind. My son and I were in the backyard up there shooting. We heard two trees fall. Watched them both fall on the neighbor's property. They're pretty big, too. Like the upper third of the tree on two of them came down. I thought for sure we were losing trees around our cabin because it was making everything sway pretty good up there. It was really bad, though. I mean, the gusts were probably 30, 40 at times, and it's not very often we watch two trees fall at random. So, yeah, a lot of wind this weekend. Luckily, though, in the Poto, the wind wasn't a big problem because I was kind of in a bowl of trees, you know, low, very low, so no wind there. But, yeah, as soon as you got out of the woods, it was bad.
All right. I'm going to get returned from the plant. I don't want to get 2 million pieces square away from the report. I'll put you guys back when I get back in here. And just before we leave, I will put the antenna back on the
getting pretty noisy, and so, yep, just throw that darn antenna back up. Anywho, I'm just running a quarter, so it doesn't really matter. I was hearing the Detroit GMRS, I was hearing Jack, almost ejection. I heard him fluttering in there. I couldn't make it back, but heard him fluttering in on the B side of the radio. But I didn't try any of the UHF stuff. I wanted to get the repeater a little bit west or southwest, southeast Michigan, something out towards, you know, downriver or western suburbs on the network. But I got absolutely zero connections out that way, so unless somebody has a repeater and a site that would want to join the network, there's little chance of me getting anything up and running.
Yeah, this trip was the first time I tried out the other repeaters I had programmed. I'm on Holly right now. I was on Flint earlier. Frankenmuth, I screwed something up. My tones are wrong, and so I got to check that when I get home. But yeah, this is the first time I've used these repeaters out this way, so. This Holly repeater seems to have really good coverage.
Yes, it does. It can really bridge the gap. You know, you can carry the 2.6 quite a ways up, and then right about where it, you know, gets untenable, then you can generally flip over. That stretch in there, in and around Clarkston, where it gets tough.
Yeah, I wish more people use DMR, then I'd bring that radio and try out the system out into northern Michigan, but this is at least not good, or at least is pretty good, gets me pretty far up north before I gotta switch over. But yeah, when I was up there, I constantly keying up like the mile repeater, everything's linked, nobody. I think, in fact, every call this weekend never had any response at all. It's the most inactive repeater network I've seen in a while. I'm kind of surprised, to be honest, because I feel like 3 years ago it was really active, and now for some reason, now that it's all linked up, I never hear any traffic on it.
Good morning, Dan. He's down in Ohio.
All right, I've done the things and I've bought the stuff. So I'm heading back to Milan. The one thing I was actually kind of looking for, but truly had no expectation that I would actually find one. The community tone panel. I didn't honestly expect to find one, so I'm going to call that a win. $20. Hooked up with Phil. He wound up buying the entire Master 3 repeater.
Oh, very cool. I'll have to talk to him about that. Can't believe you're already leaving at 9:30. But I got Davian out here. He's on his way back from up north with his, I think, one of his boys. Not sure there's any more of the brood with him, but Fred was in there for a bit, but he's out at the plant in Davison, so trying to figure out why he doesn't have an antenna on the roof of his car. No, I think he knows why, so just to get you updated. Well, very cool. I've been looking for a community tone panel as well. I mean, I'm not in a hurry for it or anything. I was thinking about putting one on the GMRS repeater for giggles. And I got a line on one. I just got to make a phone call. So I hope you didn't buy the one from mine. No, I'm just kidding. No, good for you. It's funny. You're the first one I've heard talk about a community tone panel in ages. I was talking to Deluge about one. He has one that I was going to pick up. I just got to give him a call and get it. But it's good old community tone panel. I'll be curious to ask what you plan on doing with it. Go ahead, Davian.
All right, what's a community tone panel? I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
And good morning to someone coming back from up north. Didn't quite catch the name. I wish I was up north. We haven't been up to our place since we closed it up in October. So, community tone panel, generally used in commercial. To allow multiple users on a single commercial repeater to use, have their own PL tone. So sell airtime.
Why are they so quiet?
Everybody got their own tone. So you didn't listen to users that weren't your users. And Sean, I'm thinking GMRS for it. My Milan 600 that I put up on GMRS, I do have a community panel on that one. But, looking towards, potentially doing something else. Got a half-baked idea, but I figured if I came up with a community panel, I'd buy one. Excuse me, don't get too busy.
Yep, yepers. So what I want with one, Davian, is I want to put one on the GMRS repeater, and then you'll have multiple PLs to key up the repeater. And the idea is you put PL on both the transmit and the receive, so I don't have to hear any of the people on any of the other PLs, and no one else has to hear anybody. If you use it like a service, it makes a lot of sense. So now your family can have your own PL. So you can leave radios on the GMRS repeater, and you won't have to hear anything unless it's one of your people. And meanwhile, there could be all sorts of traffic and activity on the repeater. You're still sharing the airwaves until you got to wait your turn. But you don't have to listen, basically, to anything but traffic destined for you. That's why when you see on a lot of Motorola radios on microphones, you'll see there's a monitor button on the like the hockey stick microphones that Motorola sells. There's a monitor button, and then there's the lightning bolt. The lightning bolt's transmit. Is it an ear or a speaker? I can't remember what it is now. Good God! But anyhow, the deal was you were supposed to press the monitor button, make sure the repeater's clear, then you could transmit. And if I put it on the GMRS, I was thinking like us Who Cares guys could all say, okay, we're going to be on PL, something bizarre, right? right, and you know, on PL670. And then we can all lock up in that, and then you wouldn't have to hear any of the tomfoolery on GMRS unless somebody called on that PL. So that's what you use that for. And then you can have multiple people, you know, all with their own PL. I don't know what, you know, most of them tone panels will do 20, 30 individual PLs. So that's what that is.
Oh, there you go. Learned something new every day.
Well, it's time for Davian to pick a different repeater.
Anything I do, at least. So, yeah, so right now I don't have, like, the interest in anything. I think until they come out with something better, I'm pretty much set with all, everything I need, at least. KEA-TFM.
Just an FYI, you're real shaky. You dropped out and you're noisy, so you might be getting to the point where you're going to have to transition. Dan?
Have to transition. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Yeah, you were pretty shaky that last transmission, pretty crunchy. You know, Sean, I listed my repeater on my GMRS, and I have been surprised how many access requests I've gotten. Because, you know, I didn't publish it as an open repeater because, you know, I don't really want it. You know, it's just a you know, an open for everybody. So I have a shared tone that's not 141.3. And for people that live close to town, I'll give them their own tone. Because, you know, it doesn't have a huge footprint. You know, it's not at a great site. It's at the house, so it covers the city of Milan really well. But, you know, mobile-wise, to the south, Dundee is about it. You know, to the north, you get a little past Willis Road because of terrain, so... You know, I don't really care, rather, it covers outside of the area or not, because it's doing what it was intended to do. but, you know, talking about GMRS, the Facebook groups, oh, my Lord.
You're so quiet.
I've left a couple of them. The stupidity. And, you know, the people that speak with supreme confidence that don't really know what the hell they're talking about, or they got some concept, but, you know, they're not right, and, oh, my Lord, if you try to put the right information out there, you know, they start a flame war and try to beat down anybody that's, like, you know, enough of this crap. These people are morons. The beginners group is probably the worst for that. It's like... I'm so done with these idiots. You know, you figure that someone who... It's a group to help bring beginners up to speed. You think they would... you know, some people would appreciate people that have been playing with this stuff since the 80s. Oh, no. Supreme ignorance rules real strong there.
Well, Davian must still be looking for another repeater. He's probably at no man's land between Holly and Detroit, or, you know, the Warren repeater. So, but, yeah, there's a lot of, most of the people I found don't try to, you know, they put out some really, really bad information, and then you correct them, and they're usually okay with that. I've only run into a couple that I had some. I had some trouble a few weeks ago on GMRS with one guy. I don't ever hardly get out there anymore. I maybe say hi to Jack and, you know, every now and again just to say hi or ask him if I'm going to see him at breakfast. And other than that, I just keep an ear on it for tomfoolery. And one day I was listening to some guys, they're talking CB, you know, they're talking CB for, oh, good hour.
you know, that, you know, had this radio back in the day, and I did this and that. No, we had fun, you know, and that's fine. I, you know, like it, but I don't, you know, it's none of my business. They can talk what they want, right? And then at some point, the guy says something about, oh, I heard such and such or so-and-so from 11's coming up here. Boy, that's going to be, you know, oh, you know, and I'm like, and that was when I just lost it, and I got there, and I says, don't be bringing that crap here. You leave that crap down there. And he says, oh, well, we can't talk about it here. I go, no, you've been talking about it for an hour, and I don't like it, but I don't care. Whatever you want, talk about whatever you want. But when you're talking about somebody coming up here and bringing any of those, you know, any of that conflict, forget it. I'll just shut the whole network down. Then the guy tells me, you can't do that. Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, man. Some people have no concept. But, yeah, this was in, you know, the Facebook groups. I mean, you know, Facebook is a den of stupidity in a lot of places anyways. But, you know, you try to help steer people straight. And the whole, I mean, the argument of, so apparently these idiots think it's fine to run Baofeng hammy stuff on GMRS. But it's illegal to run Motorola commercial equipment. And, you know, you just kind of like throw your hands up. You're like, you know what, you people are morons. Enough, you know, I'm done. And, yeah. But, you know, so my repeater, since it's low coverage, you know, doesn't really have, you know, hardly any use on it, which I'm fine with. But, oh, yeah, yep. These are public airways. You can't shut this repeater down. The hell I can. I own it. They, you know, people just, they don't get the, it's probably the same people that, embrace the sovereign citizen movement, you know? Well, the guy says to me, he goes, I don't know, he goes, that doesn't make sense. I paid my $35. He goes, what right do you have to tell me I can't talk? And I'm like, oh, man, he really doesn't have a concept of what his license conveys, what privilege. But anyhow, you know, like I said, everybody's been pretty good. Most of the people, like the guy he was talking to, the older guy in the conversation was like, yeah, I get it, cool, you know, and he, you know, and I tried to emphasize, I go, look, you're welcome. I mean, I'm not saying you're not welcome, and you can talk about that stuff if you want, but just, you know, you just, the drama, right? You don't want, I just don't want that coming up, you know. It is a service, and I did remind everybody, you know, this is not a hobby. This is a service, and it's a service for people, for families, you know, or even businesses to conduct their business. But it is a service. And that's a very different thing from a hobby. You know, and it is for licensee to contact, licensee A to contact licensee B. Even though that's the way we're using it, that's not really how it's intended to be used. It's for everybody. I mean, it could be license A versus license B if they're all in the same organization or family, but normally you get one license for the family and everybody operates and conducts their family business. It should be, well, you know the difference between a hobby and a service and radio, but they do not. And, you know, and are we stopping them from using it as a hobby? No. Is there any reason why they can't use it that way? Not really, but they should yield to all business type operations. Like if a family wants to conduct business, or if there's a small business that, you know, there was a security company that used to get on there. Stephanie, I think her name was. She had this voice that would melt your heart. She had this gorgeous voice, and she talked to the guys out there that were working the yards and stuff, and they're using it right, man. They're using it the way it was intended. Yeah, W8FU from W2PUT. Yeah, you know, that's exactly it, too. It's not intended to be a hobby. You know, it's a service. But, you know, can it be used as a hobby? Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with using it as a hobby. It's not illegal, but that's generally, you know, not the intent of it. You know, I don't have any problem with people using it as a hobby. But, you know, my experience with GMRS over the years
you know, there's so very few people that have treated it as a hobby. It's kind of, I don't want to say interesting, but it's a little different to see somewhat of a shift in mentality, you know, where there's, you know, more people, you know, using it as such. And that's fine. But, yeah, we used to use it all the time back home. Of course, that was before cell phones were prolific. We got our first cell phones when we were moving to Michigan. So we kind of got out of the game not that long after we moved here. But we'll say the move to 5G and some other factors has pushed me to bring back the GMRS and seeing what you guys are doing as well. The phones don't perform as well as they did in town after the 5G upgrade, the 5G downgrade.
Here, I'll leave a little break in there in case Davian's back, but it's useful, you know. I didn't enjoy, when we had the whole thing linked up and working, you know, and there was a pretty high quality of group out there for a little while. I think, you know, with WAD Don out there kind of like, you know, nurturing some guys. We got a lot of good guys out of the service and into the hobby, this hobby, some real good additions out of there. You know, I always, that's the other thing I always want to emphasize is that this is not a stepping stone, you know, for ham radio. This is a thing of its own. And if you want to go on and do that, I encourage you. We're here to help, but don't feel compelled. You know, there's absolutely nothing compelling you. For a little while, I got real hammy out there, which I didn't think that either. But again, just because I don't like it doesn't mean I stop it or say anything. I just kind of like cringe a little bit. Oh well, boys will be boys, but it is what it is, and the Detroit machine works really nice, the Mount Clemens works really good. I still think I'll put something up in Richmond, but it's going to probably have to be like a Micor or something, because that services St. Clair real good, and they got squat out there, so Riley and the boys, so if I could find a good site out that way, we could put some stuff out there, but Richmond seems to be doing the job pretty well. Covers in the Port Huron, the Marysville, the St. Clair, and, you know, pretty good. So there you have it. But Dan, I am coming up on my exit here. I am in Kalamazoo, and not far from my destination. I want to pay attention here so I don't blow past my exit and end up in Chicago. Was it me or was it Dan? Did I drop off the network or did Dan go well and drop?
It was Dan.
That's very possible.
Okay, sounds like I'm still connected. Anyhow, yeah, you just said, I said I have to pay attention here. My exit's coming up here in 2 miles and don't want to pass it. You keyed up and got about one half of a word of drop. All right, I am going to get out of here now. Pay attention. Traffic's a little heavier here, being in KZU proper. After yours, W8FU.
Okay, Sean. Yeah, I did copy that. I was saying, you know, have fun in KZU there. Good chatting with you, Pitchley. Just past the Blissfield exit here. Be home in about 20 minutes. W2P, UT Mobile.
Okay, I put an antenna back up on the roof of the truck.
Hey Fred, I heard you, but I'm coming up quickly on my exit here, and I want to pay attention so I don't end up in Chicago. Dan's still out there. Davian's, I think, he's still traveling. All right, anyhow, back to focusing on my task. Catch everybody in bed. W8FU.
Yeah, detected while I was in the plant. But it even took me in touch with when I was headed to Holly.
Good morning, 10:00 hours, 47 degrees.
Hey, good morning, Fred. Yeah, you were pretty crunchy there. WTPUT Mobile.
All right, WTFSN.
Good morning, 11:00 hours, cloudy, 45 degrees.
Okay, let's see if I'm connected now. W8FU.
This is KF8DOT. I'm heading up on 75 North near Saginaw, or just north of Saginaw, and I read you loud and clear, sir.
Okie doke on the Saganasty. I am in Kalamazooski, and my node was on, and it looked like it was connected, but it wasn't hearing anything. So I just rebooted everything, and glad to hear it. Just getting on I-94 out here in Kalamazoo, heading back for home. Name here is Sean. I know we've talked before, but I've got CRS.
I'm right there with you, Sean. I'm Eric out of Holly.
I'm having trouble with your call. Oh, well.
KF8DOT, Kilo Foxtrot 8, Bravo Oscar Tango.
So you're the Eric bot. All right, very good. It's like AI, except the Eric bot. All right. Holly, Eric bot. Eric bot, Holly. All right. That might help me remember. I'm terrible. That's why I got my call. No one forgets my call.
Yeah, you've got a cool call.
Yeah, it's not the only reason I got it, but there's a little truth in that. When I first got my old call was WX8L. That was the one that I was issued back in 1980, like 8 or 89, I forget. And that was my exclusive, my extra call that I was issued by, you know, right down from the heavens above. And I was reluctant to give that one up. You know, it was pretty cool in the old days because WX was pretty rare prefix. It has another meaning in ham radio, you know, with the weather. And, you know, there was only 26 WX8s in the world and only 260 WXs on Earth. I thought, cool. It had a pretty good rhythm in CW. It wasn't horrible in phone. I was happy with it. And, you know, but I still, everybody said W8XL, W8XL. No, it's WX8L. Oh, okay. Okay, got it now. W8XL. No.
I went through that a lot with that particular call. And then, everybody and their brother got a WX because, oh, the weather. You know, I want to show that I'm a weather station, so I'm going to be WX this and WX that. It became not only not interesting, it became common. So I had, you know, it was, people were always messing it up, and everybody and their brother wanted one, and, you know, so I just said, you know what, just screw it. And a call that I've wanted since the day they opened up Vanities. On the day they said we could get Vanity calls, people asked if I was going to, because a lot of friends of mine did. And I said, nope, there's only one call on Earth, almost as a joke. I said, there's only one call on Earth I would ever change my call for, and that's W8FU. And everybody, ha, 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 you know. And this was back in, like, 1995, 96, when they opened up Vanity again. But I secretly was watching every month, at least yearly, a couple of times a year I'd watch. How you doing, Bruce? You still with us, Bruce? Okay, and then I waited, and then Bruce finally, unfortunately, passed away, and I got his call.
Pretty cool. Years ago, when I lived down in Kansas, I had built an MP5 pistol, and when you build them yourself and don't sell it, you don't have to serialize them. So I was getting ready to move up to Michigan and decided I was going to register it as a short-barreled rifle. So I had to put a serial number on it, so the serial number I put on it was 001FU.
Yep. Yeah. I ISBR'd a couple of lower receivers. And of course we just used the number that was on them, because we didn't have I didn't manufacture it. Although, I'll tell you, I'm going to be a little nebulous about this conversation, but I came into a particular piece of history that I wanted to keep. It's long gone, and I have no idea what happened, but in order for me to do it, I was going to go, Nodak Spud was making some 80%ers, and they were making them in the receivers in that 60s design. So I could get the actual, physical design in an 80%, so I could serialize it myself. And I was going to machine the final 80%, and then since I'd be, since it'd be manufactured, I'd have to assign a number. I would assign it the exact number that was on the piece that I couldn't have, the forbidden fruit, and I was going to assemble everything else from and I was going to mark it, I was going to take it in somewhere and have the markings identical to the piece, the forbidden fruit. And everything would be identical except for, even the serial number I'd have identical, because it would be manufactured. I could use any serial number I want. So I would, in essence, have a, I would take the forbidden fruit and build it on a identical lower, because I built it myself. And that all fell through, and the piece just got destroyed. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, I was looking at some of the SP1 lowers that Brownells was putting out, and pretty decent quality, and thank you. Haven't gone that far yet to build out an old A1, but it's definitely on my wish list.
Well, mine was just a desire to keep a piece of history from going to the compactor, getting torched, and that was my goal. I don't really have any other. It was a particular circumstances that came up. I was hoping to salvage, 99% of a piece of history, and anyhow, just couldn't get it. Couldn't get all the parts to fall into place at the right time, but. Yeah, I got a couple of SBRs. I wanted to experiment with barrel lengths, pistol lengths, and I tried the pistol thing. I wasn't into that. I wasn't into the whole, brace thing, the arm brace thing. And I just said, you know what, I'm going to pay the man and get this stamp and do some legit SBRs. So I got a couple of SBRs in the stable. Actually, one's my son's, but they're part of a trust, so
His is mine, mine is his, you know. It'll all be his when I'm gone, so. So we got a couple there. And a few other little odds and ends, but it's all fun. I got three hobbies that cost me money. There's a ham radio, and there's that, and then there's the one that I'm on my way home from Kalamazoo with. Actually, I got more than that. My bike is not a small hobby. What is it with me and my hobbies? Oh, squirrel.
Yeah, it's amazing. The older I get, the more expensive the hobbies I get into get.
Yeah, this one that I'm kind of like re-exploring is, it was one of my first big hobbies. Probably my first big, you know, big hobby was audiophile stuff. I was pretty into it, you know, in the late 70s, early 80s. You know, and then marriage, kids, houses, and all that stuff, and I just, you know, I had all my stuff, but I had nowhere to set it up. You know, I have a relatively small house, and, you know, kids are taking up everything, and any place that I might have set up a sham shack or a listening room or something like that was kind of, you know, just occupied by the things of life, all the other hobbies and all the other things, so I just never was able to do it, but we're empty nesters now, you know, and I was just kind of up in my second floor now. It's one room. It's up like a bungalow, and I was up there, and you know, it's a waste, you know. My wife can't get up and down these stairs here, and, you know, I'm not using it for anything. We're just collecting junk. You know, you know what? I said, I'm reclaiming this. I'm going to get my audio equipment back online. So I was disappointed to see the condition of some of my old audio equipment, but so it started me down a... It reignited my passion and
vehicle on shoulder ahead.
Well, we'll see about that. Anywho, it is what it is. W8FU.
Yeah, there's a ham radio club that meets. I don't know if it's an actual club, but they meet out in on Saturday morning in somewhere in Kalamazoo, but. It's just a bunch of old guys that sit around and chat about audio. And I keep meaning to, actually take a Saturday morning drive out there and just hang out and meet some new people.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And you know, a lot of ham radio guys share some hobbies. Music in particular. I notice there's a lot of musicians that are also in ham radio. And, you know, I'd say 50% of the hams I know are also, you know, fairly good at dabbling in music, too, pretty damn good at music. And, me not being one, I was at best a duffer back in the day. But, you know, it would be kind of cool to see them, you know, use their ham radio as a means to get together and share their love for the, you know, music. And there was a little bit of that. They had a band down here back in the day. They called it QRM. And they played a lot of the, like, field days and gigs and stuff that were quasi-amateur related.
This is KF8BOT. Yeah, I've never really played it, but I definitely love my music, and back in the 80s had a really... I definitely understand the whole audiophile side of it, but ended up selling that, getting married, doing the whole kid thing, but like you said, I'm an empty nester now, so now I'm getting back into the point where I can actually enjoy these hobbies, and really just enjoying now. KF8BOT.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing how flush with cash you become once the kids move out. I never thought about, you know, well, what do they cost you? I don't know. I mean, just...
Vehicle on shoulder ahead.
Man, every time I key up, there's a... Waze wants to butt in. But, you know, I don't, it's just, it creeps up on you, you know, it's just, they cost money, right, and all of a sudden, I'm an empty nester, and I only have to, you know, the water bill's next to nothing, and, you know, the grocery bill's next to nothing, and, you know, I am spending a lot more eating out, because why bother, you know, the way we eat, it doesn't make a lot of sense for us to cook meals, you know, we got to plan around, you know, how are the two of us going to eat that, and, But all of a sudden, it's just like, you know, all this extra cash and, oh, and the garbage. You know, I go out and take the trash out, and it's like, oh, I don't have to take it out this week. I take the trash out about every other week now. It's crazy.
I am absolutely on that same track with you. About every other week and probably 5 or 6 nights a week, I end up eating out because even money-wise, it doesn't make as much sense for me because I'm just single now, and to buy all the groceries, waste all the time cooking them, and then have half of it go to waste. But, well, sir, I am just about into Midland, so I've got to pull off here, but I've enjoyed chatting with you again. It was good chatting with you first thing this morning, too. But I'm going to 73 now and go meet up with my daughter and spend some time. But you have a great rest of your day. Have a safe drive. And this is KF8 BOT 73.
Okay, that's good time. As a matter of fact, I'm on 94. I could bypass my exit and go right to my daughter's. That's not a bad idea. It's still early in the day. Huh, thanks for the tip. Holy cow, look at this guy. What the hell? Man, people driving like maniacs. Anyhow, all right, enjoy your day. Nothing like going to see the kids. W8FU.
Marianne was laughing the entire time you were speaking because that's our life right to the T, except she takes out the garbage.
Hey, Marianne, you want to get married? The gal takes out the garbage, huh? Hey, how you guys doing?
But yeah, it's the same thing. It's easier to eat out than it is to cook. It's such a pain in the butt because it's just, you know, and you end up throwing more things out in the refrigerator, and you feel worse about throwing the things out of the refrigerator, you know? Oh, let's get the salad. This looks good. And then 2 weeks later, you throw it out. You feel kind of bad about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because when you're buying the cook, you know, except things that aren't disposable, like, you know, spices and dried noodles and stuff like that, you know, that's all fine. But a lot of the things, especially the fresh stuff, if you want to eat well, you know, if I buy it and, you know, I go to the lunch meat counter, it's like, just give me a half pound of that, you know. It's like, because if I get any more than that, it's going to go bad, you know, before we eat it. It's like, got to get about a sandwich or two's worth, you know. And so, you know, I'll do that and get like one onion, you know, but I'm going to lose at least, the onions are cheap, right, but I like the red onion. Andrea won't touch it, so it's just me on that. So, you know, I'll have maybe a little bit on a particular sandwich or something, and, you know, the whole thing gets thrown out all the time, throwing stuff out all the time, and I hate that. If I go out to eat, I try to, like, have, today's, you know, like, I'll say to myself, today's a leftover day. I'm gonna eat the leftovers, you know, and I still lose some, but most of it I make it a point to get to. You know, they give you so much food. Even now, I notice people have throttled back a little bit post-COVID, but still, they give you too much food, and if you save it and then make it a point to eat it, it's not as bad as, you know, sure, it's $20 to eat out, but if you get 2 nights out of it, you know, which is easy to do these days, yeah, I just find it, I'm eating out all the time, and it just saves me a lot of grief and aggravation, and I'm not throwing as much crap out, so, I don't know, shrug.
Okay, yeah. That's our life exactly. Last night we went to Juan Miguel's, and right now we're pulling into George's. So I'm going to let you go. I wanted to try calling you, too, on 7.330 sometime today, too, see if that works. It lights up, but like I said, I can't hear myself because I don't have a good enough antenna. So I'll try that a little bit later. So other than that, we got to go. We're outside George's, so you drive safe. And and I'll talk to you later.
All right, well, there's a lot of other guys out there, TJ, Dan, Fred sometimes, and a few other guys, you know, are out there listening, so you maybe raise one of them. But, yeah, let me know. I'm about hour 41 from home. I may make a detour and go by and see my grandkids and my daughter and stuff, but I'll be home later. We can give it a whirl. Enjoy. Hello, Marion. Catch you guys later. W8FU.
Hello.
Hey, KPP.
Good afternoon. 1200 hours. Cloudy. 47 degrees.
W8FU. The Velvet Touch. APR from W8FU.
Good afternoon. 1300 hours. Cloudy. 45 degrees.
Did you make it home? Any KPP?
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Cloudy. 40 degrees.
W8FU. What's up, KFADS?
Hey, hey, just on my way home. I'm on Davison Surface between 96 and Davison Freeway. So, taking in the sights and sounds.
I thought you were already home for some reason. I heard you driving out to Kalamazoo earlier, and I thought I heard you say you were home. I guess not.
No, I was on track to be home about 1:30, and then I decided to stop and go to Zingerman's in Ann Arbor and knock that off my bucket list. And so I did. That cost me an hour, but I had an hour to spare.
Ah, is that the place our Pat told you about, or is it a food place, or... Neither.
It's a pretty famous delicatessen in right in downtown Ann Arbor. It's almost become like a Cedar Point attraction. I didn't like that about it. And I don't know if there's any way to get around that because I don't know, you'd have to ask like Phil, who was going to school there back, you know, in the day. My guess is that was just a great little deli, you know, right there in the, you know, down in the heart of the U of M complex and campus area. And, you know, and as those U of M grads went on to great things, they would, I got to go back, you know, to A Square and go to Zingerman's, and then the root of mouth spread, and now I believe that it's a bit more of a tourist attraction than a convenient place to go get a sandwich. Pretty expensive. It was good, don't get me wrong, but I don't know that I would go through the hassle. There's plenty of other places that are good, too. I'm glad I did it. But, you got signs, you know, kiosks and everything to work you through the thing. If you're going to the delicatessen counter, you go this way. If you're going to the sandwich, go that way. And, you know, it's just like, and even if you get in line to order a sandwich, you still go to a kiosk. And they tell you right in the front of the place that you can order right here. You can walk right up in front. Had I known how the whole thing worked, I would have done that. But it seems more like a Cedar Point ride than a restaurant.
Okay, kind of like when you go to Frank and Minutes, you go on the famous chicken places. It's like you go through a line, you go through lines and all that stuff, and people make special pilgrimages and. Kind of like going to IKEA.
Yeah, I'd say it's very much like, Frankenmuth. I think the place's name and the place and history is more important than the product. But the product's good. It's pricey. They pay for it. But it's not bad. It's, you know, what's really disappointed, like. I remember we went to, Rainforest Cafe once when the kids were little, and I'm like, you pay all this money, and for the kids to go and do that stuff, but the food's terrible. Don't tell me the food's good. You know, at least they could give you some decent food. I think that was one of them.
Dining has become more of like a, in my opinion, has now become more like a special event type of thing, because it is so expensive. We went to First Watch today because my wife, she's going to be working like the next 2 weeks. Her birthday's at the end of the month, but this was the only like weekend day that she's going to have off for a while, so we decided to go today. But that was over $100 for. But I mean, I had three kids. One of my daughter's friends was visiting, and then me and my wife. It's like $15-$16 a person to eat. And even yesterday, I ordered their little special. $20 was what I spent after I gave them tip. So you have to kind of, you can still go out to eat, and now it's become more of a, we're not going to do it as often, and just do it every once in a while.
Well, you can add, until you kids get older and move out, then your mom and I will be eating out all the time.
There's some truth to that, probably. But, we do a lot more when there's no kids to be involved, that's for sure.
I you ain't kidding. Ever since my last one moved out, it's amazing how much cash that frees up. You don't realize how much the stuff you don't even count. Just all the grocery bills go down, water, electricity, everything just goes down. And, you take the trash out like once every other week. And it's just amazing how things change when they empty nest you. So just enjoy it, man. That's why you can blow money on your grandkids. It's all the money you don't have to blow on your kids anymore.
This is true, yep. And, I don't know, it's weird, because it's like, things are going up. I know every generation, I remember my parents always saying, everything's getting expensive, and it's like, I just feel like it's going up more than just inflation, so. But that's just my take on things. I mean, I kind of think, it's just every generation says that. Everything costs more, but it's gone up in since COVID, for sure.
So we've had a couple of times where inflation was really bad and it really put a dent. We had that in the late 70s, 80s, early 80s. Inflation was out of control. and unemployment, inflation, all that stuff, and it really impacted everyone's life. And there have been other times, but that one was quite notable. I don't even know if this one's as bad as that one was. So we went through it when we were young and just getting into the market, and you know, stuff our folks had never experienced. Not to that degree. And then this current one's notable as well. And I'm sure there was another inflation there. But we've been pretty solid. I mean, since we got things kind of like under control in the 80s, and you know, we had the tech boom in the 90s, which was the real, you know, all these politicians that claim, you know, something they did had an effect, and their opponent did cost money, and something they did is going to save you money. Are you a maroon? You believe that crap, honestly? The Clinton era was great, you know, as far as financially, we were booming, but that's because of the tech boom, right? And then there's eras that are really tough, and that's because of the crash in 08 or so. They can set policies that help, but really these things are mostly out of the control of an administration. Anyhow, bottom line is we've had a few. That one we had back in the late 70s, 80s was really a stinker. It was probably at least as bad as this one.
Yeah, I think I briefly remember from economics, I had to take one economics class in college. It's like every 14 years or something like that, or seven years or 14 years, I don't remember. It's like something like that. But yeah, the 70s, like I wasn't, you know, I was just born, didn't really realize it. I grew up with the 80s, you know, kind of like economy was coming back, you know, end of Cold War, that really jumped us, did well. Then we had the kind of like the crash after the tech boom in like 2000, and then we had the housing crap in 2008, and then we had, COVID, and really not much you could do about COVID. It's, you know, worldwide pandemic and all that. So there was one jump, I think it was 2022 or 2021, it went up 22%, but now it's kind of back to normal. We're only going up like 3 to 4%. So every 7 to 14 years is like one of those things. So you just gotta, you know, be conservative during the bad times and then spend during the good times, I guess.
Save all your pennies when you got them, and then when things crash, buy. But you know, things that will come out the other side. Property is always one. But, you know, obviously tech is not a good one for that, because you buy tech on, you know, at the crash, I'm sure a lot of people are selling a lot of good stuff cheap, but the problem is that tech progresses, and, yeah, you might have got, you know, a $1,000 thing for, you know, $100, you know, in desperation, but 5 years down the road when things recover, they've leapfrogged past it. So you got to be careful with the tech on that, but otherwise, you know, real material goods that, you know, like fine furniture, art, property, value, stuff that doesn't age. You wait until it's crashing, buy the stuff when people are desperate, and sell it. That's how you become a vulture, a wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that. I was watching a video. Somebody was, like, explaining how the, what was that one called? There's like three or four different kind of like they do passive investments. Like all of us have our 401ks, right? Our 401ks or our pensions, right? Well, somebody's got to manage those funds. So there's like Vanguard, what was the other one? BlackRock, and there was two others. I don't remember what they were. Well, anyways, there's this thing called universal ownership. So the way these investment firms do is they put a little bit of money in each one of the big companies, right, like Apple and Tesla and, you know, all those things. So they have basically stakes in all the competition, and, you know, like, they own, I think it was like six, if it's over like 6% of the stock ownership, then you have a majority control. So all these, like, companies all have majority control over everything, and the biggest investors to say, like, BlackRock would be Vanguard, and then Vanguard, their biggest investment in BlackRock is Vanguard. So like, they not only do they own a little bit of every one of these companies, they own a little bit of each other, and it's like they can't fail, or they can bend the ear of the CEO of these companies and say, hey, do this because we own most of the stock. It's really interesting. I should find the video if you're interested. You should watch it.
Yeah, do that. Send the link over. That'll be cool. So, anyhow, I am making my final approach here. So, what's going on here? Oh, okay. I am turning on my street. I'm going to get inside and see what's next. Yeah, shoot me a link to that if you can. Unless there's anything else, I'm going to get parked and get inside. W8FU.
Oh, that's it. Was just filling the airways while you were driving. So, talk to you later. KF8S.
And I appreciate it. All right. W8FU.
Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Cloudy. 40 degrees. Good afternoon. 1600 hours. 39 degrees. UHF hub disconnected. Good afternoon. 1700 hours. Cloudy. 36 degrees. Good evening. 1800 hours. Mostly cloudy. 36 degrees. UHF hub connected to Flint 600. Node 53696 disconnected. UHF hub connected to FBI hub. UHF hub connected to node 53696. Thank you. Good evening, 1900 hours. Cloudy. 33 degrees. Good evening, 2000 hours. Cloudy. 32 degrees. Good evening, 21 hours. Mostly cloudy. 31 degrees. Good evening, 22 hours. Mostly cloudy. 31 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours. Mostly cloudy. 30 degrees.